The first training session as an 18-year-old rookie for the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan took part in a mini game where the losing team would have to run laps as a punishment. Jordan practically single-handedly took his team to an 8-0 lead, only for the coach to switch him to the other side. Unfazed, his new team scored 10 points without conceding to win the game 10-8. This attitude of overcoming any challenge he was faced with led to a huge successful career in basketball, which was reflected by one of his most famous quotes. Quote, "I can accept failure. Everyone fails at times. But I can't accept not trying." Michael Jordan was arguably one of the best basketball players in the NBA because he would not accept not trying. And I think about this matter of motivation, and I think about a man in the Bible, Romans chapter 1, if you turn there. Romans chapter 1, we're going to look at the life of the Apostle Paul, a man motivated, a man greatly used of the Lord, a man who went on 3 missionary journeys, but who was greatly used of God. And we see that the reason he did so is that he was motivated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He lived the gospel, he taught the gospel, he preached the gospel. He was all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see this clearly in Romans chapter 1. Begin with me, if you would, at verse number 14, where he says, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The Apostle Paul then had accepted the great missionary challenge. And this morning, as we close out Missionary Month, I want us as well to ponder and to accept the great missionary challenge that is before us, as it was before the Apostle Paul. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 14, we see that Paul was faithful to the missionary obligation. Here he says, "I am debtor." He was in debt. We see, according to verse number 1, that here the Apostle Paul was a man who was faithful to his master, which in this case was Jesus. For he says in verse number 1, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." Now, in our day, we have a tendency to think as someone who is a servant as low class, someone who really didn't have a lot of money and so forth. In this day in which Paul wrote the book of Romans, there was an estimated 6 million slaves in Rome. He realized that by him going to Rome, he as well could become one of those slaves. But mind you, at the beginning of the letter, he says, "That really doesn't bother me one way or the other." He says, "Because I already know who my master is, and that is Jesus." He says, "I am a servant of Jesus Christ. He is my master. He is my Lord. He is the one who has dramatically changed my life. And I am going to be faithful to him. I am debtor to these people because the master, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave his very life for them. I'm going to be faithful to the master." He also is going to be faithful to past martyrs. I think about Peter himself, who was crucified upside down. He did not want to, if you would, to be identified with Christ as far as being crucified this way. He wanted to be upside down when he was hung on the cross. And history records that is how he had died. But Peter had it in his mind, "Hold it, there have been others who have gone before me and who have given their very lives for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think some of those were some of the individuals that the Apostle Paul himself had persecuted. That he himself was making sure that they ended up in jail, men or women, it mattered not to him, but anybody who identified with Christ. Paul wanted to make life miserable upon them. But now that he is one of them, now that he belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I want to be a faithful individual to my Lord. I want to be a faithful servant to Jesus Christ, because there have been others who have gone on before me and have laid down their very lives for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was faithful to the master. He was faithful to the martyrs, but he was also faithful to reach the masses. Because we see in verse number 14, he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. In other words, I am in debt to whosoever will, because Jesus Christ died for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he says, so I am in debt to the Greeks. I am in debt to the barbarians. I'm in debt to those that are wise. I'm in debt to those that are unwise. In other words, I am in debt to people. I am in debt because there is a debt that has and that must be paid. And somebody gave the gospel to me, Paul is speaking, and I must pass it on to them. Paul was faithful, church, to the masses. Everywhere Paul went, he was just so enthused about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul would just, if you would, bleed the gospel. Paul would talk the gospel. Paul would sing the gospel. Paul was excited about the gospel because he knew what it could do in someone's life. And so he says, I'm in debt. I am a debtor. And so he is, as a faithful one, was faithful to the missionary obligation. And here is the question to us this morning. Will we be faithful to the missionary obligation? Oh no, we may not go to Africa. We may not go to Europe. We may not go to some other parts of the world. But church family, the reality is, here in a little bit, you will walk out the doors of this building and you're going to be, quote, a missionary in your home. You're going to be a missionary in your workplace tomorrow. You're going to be a missionary in your neighborhood. Wherever you go, you are a missionary. Are you being faithful to the missionary obligation? Paul says, hold it. I have a debt. I am in debt both to Greeks and barbarians. I am in debt to people. He was faithful to that missionary obligation. But notice also in the text, he was flexible to the missionary opportunity. Look at this, verse 15. So much as in me is, I am ready. Understand now, he knows going to Rome, he could become a slave. He says, so much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. Here was a man who had two great traits, two necessary abilities, dependability and availability. He says, I am ready. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. Rome was not a place that was friendly to grace. Rome was not a place that was friendly to churches, was not a place friendly to Christians. Paul knew that. But he says, I am ready. Not that he had a death wish. But here was a man who said, you know, those things aren't going to distract me. They're not going to deter me. I'm going to be faithful to this missionary obligation and be flexible to the missionary opportunities. The late David Livingston, missionary in Africa, said this, send me where you will, but go with me. Lay any burden upon my heart, but sustain me. Sever any tie but the one that binds my heart to you. He said, I am ready. Now let me ask you. If God were to reach in and break up your life plans, are you flexible? Are you willing to change your plans? You see, sometimes in life, here's how we can think. And in one way, there's nothing necessarily wrong with this, but we'll have this idea in mind. Well, here's the plan I have. I'm going to do this and in a couple of years, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to save up money to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I see this, quote-unquote, in my future, and this is how it's going to all work out and so forth. And then God walks into your life and just changes it all up. Uh-oh. Now what are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and say, why, God? What are you doing might be a good question to ask. Because sometimes in our planning and in our focusing upon the future, we have an idea how we want it to all come together and how we want it all to fit and so forth. Paul, he was so flexible. Now he could be preaching in freedom one day and in the next day be in jail somewhere. That was reality for Paul. So, per se, he couldn't necessarily make some long-range plans because he never knew where he would end up. But he did know this: the important place for me to be is in the will of God. And there he was in the will of God. He says, I am ready now to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. So be willing, church, to let the Lord change your plans. Are you flexible with the opportunities to share the gospel? Are you flexible? I think about what Jesus said in John 4:35. There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Why? Because they are white already to harvest. I read about a sales manager who had gotten his sales team together. And he took a white poster board, and in the middle of that white poster board, he put one black dot and held it up in front of the sales team. And one by one, he began to ask them, what do you see? One said, well, I see a black dot. The next one he asked, what do you see? Well, I see a black dot. And he asked again, what do you see? All of them had seen the black dot. And then the sales manager said, isn't it strange that all of you saw a black dot, but none of you saw the white? You know, sometimes in our life, it is easy for us to become self-absorbed with our world, with our plans, and so forth. And Jesus said, hold it. Children of God, I want you to lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. We have to be so flexible. I remember when I was a boy, I had a boyhood dream one day, believe it or not, of being a professional baseball player. Now, if you'll forgive me on this, it was not to play for the Detroit Tigers. Sorry. Go ahead, throw stones, but it was not to play for them. My boyhood dream one day was to play for the Baltimore Orioles. Back then, when I was following them, they won championships. They had an excellent farm system. And great players, Mike Cuellar and Boog Powell and Brooks Robinson. I know those names probably don't mean a thing to you, but I'm telling you, this was something I was living. I was just eating it up. But yet, there was only one other thing besides ever wanting to be a professional baseball player one day, was that I knew that when I got saved, I can't explain this to you, but that day I got saved, I believe God also had put in my heart that one day I was going to preach the word. I didn't understand that necessarily as a 9-year-old boy, but what I do remember that day that I got saved, it was on a Sunday. That afternoon, we lived out in the country, much more than even here, and the next nearest neighbor was a mile down the road. And again, mind you, I'm only 9 years old, so my parents allowed me to do this many years ago. I said, hey, I want to go down and see a family. I'm burdened for them. I want to talk to my friend about getting saved. So man, mile down the road, I'm walking. And I get into that house, and I try to tell my friend about Jesus. I didn't know anything about all the Bible. I just knew what happened in my life. But I had two conflicting ideas, if you would. Be a preacher, be a baseball player. With one, if I really hit it, no pun intended, I could make a lot of money. The other one,
would have great eternal reward.
Well, you know which one I ended up going down. But I'm telling you, even as a young boy and a teenager, I had those conflicting thoughts in my mind. But at the end of the day, I said, Lord, whatever your will is for my life, you can feel free to bust it open if you want. And he did. He led, he guided, he directed in my life. He gave me indicators in my life there. And as I think about that this morning, I think about how that in our life, we have to be this flexible. Because we have plans. We have ways that we want to go, but God's ways are higher than our ways. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And Paul said, but you know, at the end of the day, I'm ready. I'm ready. If he wants me in jail tomorrow, so be it, but at least be it for the fact that I'm standing for him and living for him. If I have to die, so be it, because he said that would be far better anyway. But he said to remain with you is also necessary. I'm going to keep advancing the gospel. Here's what we need to apply in our life this morning. Be ready. Be flexible. You have your plans. You have your dreams. And there's nothing wrong with those plans. There's nothing wrong with dreams. But let me just challenge you to keep God at the focus of that and say, God, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to do? And sometimes in our life, we will face some things that will come in and God will just upset the apple cart big time. But we have to trust in this fact, his way is perfect. And Paul had to trust in this because there were many times in his life. He was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was spit upon. I mean, he was left for dead, he was beaten so bad. But he says, I'm ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So Paul was flexible to the missionary opportunities. But notice this also in verse number 16. Paul was fearless to the missionary opposition. Look at this, verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He was fearless. He says, I am not ashamed. How many of you have been ashamed, because I'll raise my hand, to speak for Jesus? I've been there. I kick myself. I'll pray and I'll say, Lord, open up a door of opportunity for me today to speak. And he opens it up and zip, my mouth is closed. I kick myself for that. But I tell you this, I'm thankful though that the Lord is so good in his forgiveness of us. And he will work through our weaknesses. And Paul says, I am not ashamed. If there is a company that I want to be a part of, it's called the Company of the Unashamed. People who are unashamed to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. People who are unashamed to stand for truth and righteousness. People who are unashamed. Paul says, I am not ashamed. I'm unashamed of Jesus. Are you unashamed of Jesus? I think we need to ask ourselves the following questions. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Well, that's a big question. Because a soldier of the cross means I'm willing to carry my cross, as Jesus said, and be willing to lay down my life if necessary. I'll be willing to take up the cross of Jesus and follow him no matter what it may cost me. Big question. Here's another one. And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? There was a young man that I read about that lived a life of sin and debauchery and filth. Here was a man that just sunk so low in his life. It was terrible the way that he was living. But then, God saved him. God not only saved him, but then he also, later in life, called him to preach. Once he was in a service preaching, and somebody who had known him in his prior life saw him up there and thought it was disgusting that a man who lived that kind of a lifestyle that that man in the pulpit lived should not be up there preaching. So what that man did, he wrote on a little slip of paper and began to write how this preacher had lived in his prior life. I mean, he just wrote it out sentence after sentence, guilty of this, did this, did this, did this. Folded it up and he gave it to an usher and said, I want you to take it up to that man. And then when that man got, the preacher got the piece of paper, that man who wrote it out stood up and asked, aren't you ashamed of yourself? How dare you stand up there to preach? And here's what that preacher did. He took that list with everything on it and he just began to read all those things that that man wrote out. He didn't leave anything out. And then with tears streaming down his face, he said, yes, I am ashamed. But I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. And church family, this is what our life ought to be characterized by, that we are not ashamed of Jesus. You see here in verse number 16, Paul was unashamed of the person of the cross. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He's my Savior. I'm not ashamed of him. I will speak of him while I'm free. I will speak of him when I'm in jail. He did that. He says, everywhere I go, I'm just going to talk about Jesus. I'm just going to preach Jesus because I'm not ashamed of the one who gave his life for me. He was unashamed of the purpose of the cross because he says here, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. He says, I'm not ashamed of the purpose of the cross because I know that if someone would come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they too can be changed like I was changed. They too can be saved like I was saved. Their life can be forever transformed. He says, I'm not ashamed of the purpose of the cross. And I'm unashamed of the plan of the cross because I realize that when Jesus died on the cross, whosoever will may come and partake of the water of life freely. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation. Church family, as we think about missions, we have challenged you this month to consider your giving. It's important. I have challenged you this month to consider your prayer life for our missionaries, and that is important. But I'm also challenging you in this last message, and I'm challenging myself this morning that we would be faithful to the missionary cause right here at home. Because the old saying is, missions starts at home. Where's our mission field? Gaines Township. Almost 7,200 people in Gaines Township. It's not a township that has grown a lot since I have been here in 26 years, but it has grown. And there are 7,200 people in this township who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, as you consider this, will you today say, I will be faithful to the missionary obligation. I will be faithful to the missionary opportunities. I will be faithful to proclaim the gospel message. The late Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China, said that the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. Are you walking in obedience to the Great Commission? To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. For the world is crying out, help me, help me. The world needs ambassadors of Christ like you and me to go out into this world and represent Jesus well. And like we've heard this morning, to represent him well with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because whosoever will may come and partake of the water of life freely. Say, preacher, people don't want to listen. There are some like that. There are some who will turn you down just like that. But then there are others, if you'll listen, who are saying, help me, help me. And God can work through you to help them onto Christ, just like somebody was, quote, a missionary in your life and brought you to Jesus. Let's go forth with the same indebtedness like Paul said and say, I'm ready to preach the gospel wherever God will use me. Your workplace, your school place, your neighborhood, wherever you go, say, God, I'm ready. Use me. Here am I. Send me. Let's pray together. How I thank you, Father, for the emphasis this month on missions. And Father, I realize this morning that there is a great, great need. The souls of men are in the balance. There are people in this very moment today. They may be our friends, they may be our relatives, they may be a coworker, a neighbor. Their life, if you would, is in the balance. Because reality is, none of us know when we're going to draw our last breath. But help us to be a faithful missionary to you, and help us to go forth with a heart burdened to answer the cry of help. And help us to go forth, if you would, with tears in our eyes, a compassionate spirit. Because if we don't go, who will? If we don't share, who will? You have committed it to us. So help us this morning to be a faithful missionary and accept the missionary challenge to stand for you, to live for you, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ just like you used Paul to do so. Here we are many years later from the time he wrote this. Technology has advanced. He didn't have a lot of the conveniences that we have, but I thank you for him, so help us to take advantage of it and to make an influence in our society, make an influence in our community. These people in Gaines Township, they need Jesus. You've planted us on this corner for a purpose, for a reason. Not to just occupy some ground, but you have brought us together. From different backgrounds, you've brought us together for the express purpose of going out in this community and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many different ways, I realize, that we can do it, but Father, just help us to be obedient to the cause, to go into all the world, in this case, go into all of Gaines Township and preach the gospel to every creature. They need Jesus. We have the truth. Help us not to be ashamed. Help us to go with Holy Spirit-filled confidence. Help us to go with a burdened heart. So strengthen us in this area. Strengthen us in this cause. In Jesus' name. Now with their heads bowed. You've heard several messages this month on the whole theme of missions, the gospel, what our responsibility is. Not just financially, that's just one part of it. But as I think about the Apostle Paul, here was a man who was ready. He said, I am ready. I am debtor. I am ready. I'm not ashamed. And this morning, are there those here who would say, Pastor, I want God to use me in my neighborhood, in my school place, in my workplace. Wherever I go, I want God to use me, and I want to answer the call, if you would, like Isaiah of old, here am I, send me, here am I, use me.
Now this morning, if you would receive the missionary challenge and to say, you know, Lord, here I am. Use me. You know my strengths. You know my weaknesses. But Lord, use me to point people to you. If that's you this morning, I'm not going to have you come forward. But if that's you this morning, with their heads bowed, would you just stand to your feet? Say, you know, I want God to use me. I want God to work through me to bring people to Jesus. I want to be bold with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm bold about other things, but not this. I need to be bold. I want God to work through me and use me. Just stand to your feet just for a moment. Say, yes, that's me, Pastor. I want God to work through me. Just stand to your feet. And now, Father, you see these many that are standing. I stand with them. Father, we're weak, but you're strong. You have equipped us to do the task. Now help us to be obedient to the cause. Not just out of a sense of mere duty, but help us to do it because we really care for others. We want to see others come to Jesus. And you can work through us. I know you can. So help us to rely upon daily the power of the Holy Spirit. Open up doors of opportunities even this very week to tell others of Jesus. Use us this week as missionaries in our schools and in our workplaces and in our stores that we frequent, that you would just use us to point people to Jesus. May Calvary Baptist Church just become more and more missionary-minded, not only abroad, but here at home as well. The need is great. We can't do it without you. We're weak without you. We need your help. So open up doors of opportunity for us as a church. Broaden our horizons. Enlarge our coast of ministry here in this community. Because we care for people. In Jesus' name. Now, would the rest of you please stand? I'm going to ask Sister Tina to begin to play through.